you need to know. Son, you can run where you want to. You can do as you please. But it won't change the fact that you belong to me. My love will never falter. My prayer will always be that every step you take brings you back to me. Now the sun went on his way, but it didn't take long for his money and his so-called friends to be gone. He wound up just a beggar, feeding with the swine. Shivering in the cold one night, his father crossed his mind. He'll never take me back, I've journeyed too far. But he just didn't understand the love that was in his father's heart. Son, you can run where you want to. You can do as you please. But it won't change the fact that you belong to me. My love will never falter. My prayer will always be that every step you take brings you back to me. You can run where you want to. You can do just as you please. But it won't change the fact that you belong
to me.
My love will never falter. My prayer will always be that every step you take, every step you take, every step you take brings you back to me.
Back to me.
Amen. Thank you for that special. Appreciate that. 2 Corinthians in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When you find that, if you're able, would you stand to your feet as we open the Word of God tonight? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we took a break last night from this series, but preaching through living by biblical convictions, and we looked at this a couple weeks ago. We'll cover a little bit of that because I know that everyone remembers what was preached 2 weeks ago, much less this morning. The problem is, if you ask me, I may not remember what I preached last week or 2 weeks ago either if I didn't have the notes, so don't feel bad if you didn't. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the night. Pray that you would just have your hand upon the preaching, and may your word go forth with power and touch our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be willing to receive it as you speak to us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Sorry, dropping stuff out of here. As we look through this passage here a couple weeks ago about living by biblical convictions, it's important for every Christian to know what you believe and why. Every Christian, you must know what you believe and why, and it should be based on the Word of God. Amen? All right, we're going to hit that one more time. Every Christian must know what you believe and why. I'll give you a break for that one. And it must be based on the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Not by opinions, not by feelings, not by seasons of the year, not by popularity, not by what the family is doing or the holiday. We could go on and on with that because the Bible never changes. Amen? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's Word never changes. The truth never changes. And so if anything changes, it's us. That's why you have so many different churches and religions. Why? Because someone wanted to go a different direction. So they wrote a different Bible. They set up a man to be the leader of that false religion so they can make the rules of what they liked and don't like. Now, God has called me to be the pastor of the church, but God is the head of our church. Amen? God's the head of our church. The Word of God is our final authority in all matters of faith and practice. Amen? Everything should be based on the Word of God, not just in church, but personally at home as well. We must have biblical convictions. I challenged our young people. I challenge you to do this as well. I taught a junior, senior Bible class, and I challenged them, and they had to do it because it's part of their credits. They had to write a paper, what I believe, and literally write a number of subjects. Well, I didn't tell them what they had to say in those. I said, look in the Bible. If you look in the Bible, guess what? It's going to be the same. Did you realize that? It's not going to be different. It's going to be the same because it comes from the Word of God. It's important for you, Christian, to know what you believe and why, to be able to explain that, to be able to answer everyone that asks you through your reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear, to know your biblical beliefs. God is a God of holiness, amen, of separation. He separated light from darkness, the clean from the unclean, and you could go on further, and that's really salvation. Salvation is we're separated from hell to heaven. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. I never have to go to hell because I'm saved by the grace of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. And so the subject of separation is in the Bible, and it's very important. Some would say as long as you're saved, it doesn't matter how you live. Well, that's not true. That'd be like saying, well, I have a job, title, and where I go to work, but it doesn't matter what I do when I'm there. Does it matter what you do when you go to work? Well, of course it does, right? And your boss is going to give you rules, and you don't follow those rules, well, you're not going to have a job much longer. Now, God's not going to kick you out of His family because you didn't follow all the commandments, but the subject of separation is really a lost doctrine, not by God, but by Christians today. It's very much of a lost doctrine where people want to be more like the world, to fit in more to the world instead of being set apart, right? Because God said we should be a peculiar people, different, right? Should look different, act different, talk different. We should be different about everything. Why? Because I'm saved as a child of God. We should be different than the world. The saved should be different than the unsaved. A clear difference. Many times we want to like blend the lines and we're trying to reach the lost being like the lost. Well, there's a problem there. Why would a lost person want to be anything like a saved person that's living just like them? They want to be called to something different. And that's what draws you, I believe, to salvation, the gospel. I need something different in my life. So I want to challenge you with a subject about your biblical convictions. I'll go through a few quick points that we covered a couple weeks ago. Establish your beliefs on the Bible. Very simply and clearly, establish your beliefs based on the Word of God. Number two, examine your life before God. Examine your life before God and say, God, here's your Word, here's my life. What needs to change here? This doesn't need to change. This needs to change, right? This changes me. Too many times people say, oh, I don't like that. I'm going to change the verse instead of changing me. Well, that's wrong. Examine your life before God and say, God, what needs to change? Search me, O God. Try me. Know my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Examine your life before the Lord. Number three, embrace the higher standard. So many times today we want to take the easier road, don't we? Well, what's the least I have to do to pass the test, right? What's the least? How about let's take the high road? Amen? And when it comes to holiness, let's take the high road when it comes to holiness. more like Christ, not more like the world. Too many people want to walk the edge. They want to walk that danger line of like, well, I'm not quite sinning, but I'm getting as close as I possibly can. Let's take the higher standard. Let's take the higher road that the Lord gives us. Number four, engraft your beliefs into your life. Take the Word of God and put them in your life. Too many times we have Christians that we come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, but we're not actually taking the Word of God home. For some people, the most Bible you get is at church on Sunday, but what about the other days of the week? Right? We should take it home and put it into my life. Why? Because God wants to change your life, right? You're a new creature, the Bible says. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so God wants to change our lives completely. Turn around. Put your beliefs into your life. The number five, educate or teach your family. Teach your family the Word of God. We've been going through a little devotional book that we've had for a while, and I forgot we had it, going through it with the younger kids. And we've been going through Bible lessons, and it has a Bible verse and a Bible story every night. Why? Because I want to teach the Word of God at home. Amen? As a family, we must be teaching at home what we say we believe on Sunday. That's important, parents. All right? Have a family devotion time or time where you pray and you get around the Word of God and you are putting God's Word into your everyday life. Biblical conviction, separation, holiness, you can call it what you want, but it's a biblical principle that we need to put in our lives. Tonight we're going to talk about this subject of biblical convictions when it comes to your associations. Your associations or your friendships. Question for you is this: who do you want to influence you? Today they have influencers. I couldn't name one influencer out there, thankfully. People that are paid to influence, and they're paid to try someone's products and to promote it to people, and they're paid to influence you, especially in the social media age that we have and the commercial and all. People are paid to try to get you to sway your opinion to buy their product, right? They want to influence you constantly. The world is trying to influence you. The devil is trying to influence you. But guess what? God wants to influence your life as well. Our associations matter. So number one question is this: who do you want to influence you? Second question is this: who do you want to be like? See, here's the problem that we think. Well, I have my friendships, my associations, but I won't become like them. That is as wrong as the day is long, because the Bible says iron, what? Sharpeneth iron. So man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You are becoming just like your friends. You say, no, I'm trying to bring them up, but many times your friends are bringing you down. Amen? And your friendships matter. They are influencing you. You say, I'm trying to be a good friend to pull them up. And there's some wisdom there, and we'll get to some more points with that in a little bit. But who do you want to be like? We'll look at some more specifics there. Here's a difference. You say, so I can't be friendly to anybody. No, that's not what that means. Friendly is being kind and cordial and welcoming, and we should be a welcoming church. Amen? We should be kind as Christians. Too many times Christians think, well, to be holy, I have to be mean. No, you don't have to be mean to be holy. Amen? You can be Christ-like and have a right spirit. Friendly is being kind and Christ-like, but friends is a close companion. Someone that you want close to you, that you would want to be like. You'd want your children to be like. You'd want to grow up to be like them, or your young people to grow up like them as well, that you want influencing you. Here's a thought here. You have to draw the line with your associations and your friendships somewhere. Everyone does, of who you will or will not allow in your home, in your life, in your car, in whatever. You ever drive down the road and you see someone hitchhiking? And I feel bad. It's hot, and they've got a gas tank, and they whatever, and they're trying to catch a ride. I'm with my family, and I think, it's not happening. I've got to draw the line for the safety of my family, because I don't know who I'd be bringing into my vehicle. If it's just me, that's another story. If I'm packing, or, you know, if I have some kind of safety. You have to draw the line somewhere. And you do, everyone does, where you're going to draw the line with your friendships, your associations. Everyone draws a line somewhere. Here's a thought. The closer they are to the Lord, the closer we can be as friends. Right? Think about that. As a friend, an association, a close friend, the closer they are to the Lord, the closer you can be friends to someone. On the opposite side, the further they are away from the Lord, the further from being friends we can become. You say, well, that's rude and that's mean. I didn't make the choice to walk away from God. I didn't choose that lifestyle, and I cannot allow that to influence my life, my family, because everyone draws the line somewhere, right? And I want my friendships to draw me closer to God, not pull me away from God. You have to choose your friendships, your associations. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this whole passage here talks about separation from other people. Look at this. It says, be not unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers, unsaved. For what fellowship, and it gives you many terms here, we won't go through all of them tonight, hath righteousness with unrighteousness, what communion hath light with darkness, what concord hath Christ with Belial. We'll continue on. Verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And then verse 17, it says this, wherefore come up from among them, the unbelievers, those that are not walking with Christ, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You say, but it is mean to not associate with others, other friends that I love, that I care about. Here's the thing, though. Look at this. It says, touch not the unclean thing, and it says this, and I will receive you. So here's what we're doing. If we choose to be friends with the world, we are choosing to not be friends with God. Verse number 18, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The Bible says that you cannot love both. You love the world or you love God. You cannot serve two masters. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so if I choose friendship with the world, I'm choosing to distance myself from the Lord. All right? That went over wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right. Wrong thinking about friendships. I'm going to give you some challenge and then some encouragement at the end with some practical truths. Wrong thinking about friendships. Number one is this. Well, Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. Yeah, and Jesus drank wine and all the other things that people want to use as an excuse to do what they really want. Jesus was friend. Guess what? God so loved the world. Aren't you thankful for that? That God so loved the world. Let's not get so high and mighty that we can't preach the gospel to others and be salt and light to the world. But you have to determine your distance from those that you're trying to be a witness to and reach for Christ. Yes, Jesus was a friend with publicans and sinners. But what did he do? Did he just sit and eat with them? No, what did he do when he went to eat with them or heal them? What did he do? He preached the gospel to them. Didn't he? He said, repent. Here's the problem with the thought of Jesus was friends with publicans and sinners, so I can be friends with unsaved, lost people away from God. Because with those friendships, you cannot talk about God. You can't preach the gospel. You can't talk about holiness. You have to leave your beliefs aside to choose that friendship. Amen? Jesus loves everyone. And he would touch the life of anyone that would listen, whether it was the rich or the poor. And we should love everyone. Let's be careful not to be separate from the world and not love this world and not have compassion, preach the gospel, be salt and light, but to be a close friend with those that are lost and not walking with Christ is unbiblical. Number two, wrong thinking about friendships, you have to become like the world to reach the world. You got to be just like them. That's what churches do today. Is they're like, lose the tie, you know, put the fog machines and darken the church and all this stuff so that everyone just comes and it feels like it's the world. It feels like you're walking into another concert or a coffee shop or whatever. It's supposed to be different. The church is supposed to be different. This is the house of God. Amen? It's not another party. It's not another coffee shop. It's the house of God. There's nothing wrong with looking like you're going to church when you go to church. Amen? And we don't have to look like the world to reach the world. I'm not coming up here with my ripped jeans and my long hair and my skinny shirt and whatever else that the world does to try to reach the world and say, I just want to look like them. I understand sometimes people come to church and they'll say, did I have to wear a suit to come to church? And did I have to wear a dress to come to church? I said, no, you don't have to do that to come to church. Anyone is welcome. But we should look our best when we come to church, I believe. Amen? Number three is this. Wrong thinking about friendships. Well, if I separate from those that are not Christ-like or saved, then I would have no friends. I'll have no friends if I separate from those that are not like Christ. Would you rather have the wrong kind of friends than no friends? Think about it for a minute. Do you want the wrong friends to pull you the wrong direction or say, I have no friends? By the way, I think church is a great place to make some good godly friendships, isn't it? And so I'll not have any friends if I separate from those that I know are not drawing me closer to Christ. Last one is this, and we'll get to the next points here in a bit. Number four is this. Well, we've been friends forever. We've been friends forever. And here's another part. This is where it gets a little trickier, okay? Well, we're family. That gets a little trickier, doesn't it? We're going to see each other at Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff. You're going to have to draw the line somewhere. I'm not disowning family, but there's a time where I have to draw a line and say, my family can't do that. It isn't going there. I can't have that around my children and my life. And we've got to draw the line somewhere, church. You have to draw the line somewhere. The length of the friendship or the family relationship doesn't make it right if things are not right and holy and drawing you closer to Christ. Amen? All right, wonderful. Next point's here. All right, we have different areas of separation. There's personal separation. We're not going to get into all this. Ecclesiastical separation with the church. There's friendships in the Bible. I'm going to skip along because it's going a lot longer in the beginning. We got to get to the end tonight because we have a meeting at the end. All right, here we go. Friendships in the Bible. Did Delilah influence Samson's life at all? Just a little bit, right? I mean, she didn't change the course of his life at all. Samson said, go get her for me. And his parents went down like good parents and did exactly what Samson told them to do. Instead of standing up and saying, I'm not going to be, you make the decision, that's your choice. I'm not going to be a part of it. Amen? Wonderful. All right. She personally, think about this, Delilah, a wrong relationship. She personally led Samson to getting his hair cut, his eyes poked out, treading corn like an animal, and then died in the rubble with the Philistines. Did she change the direction of his life? Greatly. Greatly. Another one, King Rehoboam. Maybe not quite as well known as others, but he was the king, and he's taken over, and he said, okay, who am I going to listen to? The old man that advised my father, or am I going to get the young men that are my friends? And he said, the wise older man that influenced generations before me that God blessed, or my friends, my posse, my crowd. I don't know what everyone calls your friend circle today. I can't keep up with a young person's lingo because I'm over 40. All right? Whatever it may be. And he said, I'm going to listen to the young crowd. See what the popular thing is to do. Split the kingdom in two, didn't he? You can think of Amnon. Amnon had a friend, Jonadab. He had wicked thoughts in his heart that he had not and maybe would not have followed through with those thoughts, other than for a wicked friend. But Amnon had a friend. What a sad statement. Jonadab had a part of Amnon's life to turn him to do wicked and immoral act against his sister Tamar, ruin her life, his life. He was killed. Family troubles because a friend influenced his life. I understand I'm taking you to some of the extremes in Scripture, but your friends influence your life. Your friends, for the young and for the old, or the in-between, wherever you want to categorize your age, our friends influence our life. Our associations of who you spend time with, of who you listen to, of who you read. If we go a step further, the blogs, the social media, the people, everyone, they're influencing your life. Amen? The Bible says in Psalm 1 and verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He's not going to stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful. He was separating. This blessed man is separating from the ungodly. We must have areas of separation built in our life for safety and for blessing. For safety and for blessing. How should I choose my friends? Number one, those that are saved. Amen? Those that are saved, a child, say, I don't know if they're saved. You've not asked them? Are you saying you have a close friend and you've never taken the time to ask them if they know for sure that they're on their way to heaven? To me, that already shows that is not a right relationship. If you cannot even ask about their soul, if they're going to heaven or hell, do your friends even know that they're saved? Be a witness to your neighborhood, your workplace, everywhere. Preach the gospel. But if they're not saved, I can't be close friends with them. That would not be safe for me personally. You say, well, I'm strong enough to have wrong friendships in my life and it not change me. No, you're not. No, you're not, and no, I'm not either, because our friends influence us. I've seen too many people that I love and that I care about get around a crowd that's going a different direction, and it's just a matter of time. I guarantee it's a matter of time. They're going that direction. It's just a matter of when. Say, well, are they saved? Number two, are they spiritual? Your friendships, are they spiritual? Can you talk about your Bible reading with your friends? Can you say, here's what I learned from the Word of God today. I have a prayer request to share with you. Would you pray with me about it? Can you have a spiritual conversation with your friends, or are spiritual topics off limits? Just don't bring up your church stuff and we can be friends. That's another clear sign that's not a wise friendship, and it's going to turn you away from God. It's going to turn you away from God. Do you talk about the things of God when you're together? Are you spiritual? First of all, are you walking with God? Are you a good friend to those that you're around as well? It goes both ways. Iron sharpeneth iron. You both need to sharpen each other. And the Bible says that when one falls, the other picks the other one up. The Bible says, are your friends, your close friends, are they spiritual? There's a number of close friends that I have in my life. Some of those have changed over time. But there's a few very close friends that if I had any prayer need, any question, any amount of counsel, I could go to them anytime, anytime. People that I believe are strengthening my walk with God. They're challenging me to be a better Christian, not to walk away from God. The third point I kind of already alluded to already, how do I choose wise and godly friendships? Number three, someone that has strong biblical beliefs. Strong biblical beliefs and puts them into practice in their life. You ever been somewhere and you went to visit a family member, a friend somewhere? You went somewhere and you thought, oh, I didn't think they would have this here. I didn't think they'd be doing this here. And you have to make a choice in your life. Do I want to choose God or do I want to choose the friend? Who do I want to be close to in my friendship, my associations? Do I want to draw closer to the Lord? 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And you get around evil, it's going to be evil. Think about it. You have a beautiful steak. We were talking about steak before church tonight. And I wasn't even hungry. But Brother and Mrs. Koval got me really hungry for steak. And man, I need a steak now. But could you imagine if there was a garbage can and it was just putrid, filthy, disgusting, trash, and you dumped a beautiful steak in there? You think, ooh, there's a good piece of steak in there. I need to go pull it out. I need to eat some of that. I could cut off the middle of it. That's what the teenagers are thinking, right? I can rinse it off. It's not going to be bad. I don't know about you. I'm looking at it going, that might be a good piece of steak, but it's ruined. I don't want any part of that. It's corrupted. It's not good anymore. You put a godly Christian in a wicked environment where they're choosing wrong friendships, associations, it's going to turn them in the wrong direction. Now, I hope and I pray and believe there's times in our life where maybe you work in a place that's not a Christian environment. Probably a few of those here. You're going to have to stand strong on your biblical beliefs. Again, friendly and friends, that's the difference. Friendly, yes. A good and godly example, yes. partying after work, no. That's where you've got to draw the line somewhere. Say, but don't you want to go out? We're going out with all the guys later. You know what all the guys are going to do later, right? Say, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm going home to my family. And you never need to apologize to go home to your family, by the way. It's a good place to go. Amen. You got to draw the line somewhere with your associations, with your friendships. We are becoming like our friendships, our association, the things that we're watching, listening to, people we're spending time with, are influencing our lives. You have to choose in your life, what do I want to become? Do I want to be more like Christ? Well, who in my life is going to help me become more like Christ? Where do I need to go to become more like Christ? And if there's anything that's in the way that's going to draw me away from God, I need to lay off that weight and sin, which does so easily beset me, and run with patience a race set before us. Why? Because there's things that will hold you back in your life. Be a godly example. Be kind and preach the gospel and help people. Don't be so high and holy you can't point people to Christ. Okay, please don't misunderstand the message tonight. But my distance from those that are walking away from God, for me it depends on how far they are away from God as well. They walk quite a ways from God. I've got to keep quite a ways of a distance between me and them on a friendship level. Praying for them? Yes. Loving them? Yes. Being kind? Yes. Being close in association? I can't do that because I don't want to go that direction as well. You say, but I'm strong enough. I'm not going to fall. Why are we the exception to the rule? Why are we the exception to the rule? He that walketh with wise men, the Bible says, shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We could go over many verses tonight about walking with wise or walking with fools, and they both lead in different paths. You have to choose in your life, your associations, what direction you want to go, and you want to be more like Christ, or do you want to be more like the world? You have to make a choice. Draw the line. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Tonight, thank you, Lord, for the time tonight. I pray that the message received with the right spirit.